Welcome to Shakespeare Full Circle, a journey of a circuitous nature into the mind of the Bard of Avon, or as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. Language is a funny thing, and it is one of my favorite things, as it happens, next to kind people and naps. I did, however, used to have a hang-up on adverbs. I thought they were pointless. You were either stupid or not, pregnant or not. Extremely pregnant or vastly stupid was, well, incredibly idiotic. See what I did there? Having lived in England for the better part of 2 decades, during the formative years of my 20s and 30s, my love for the English language, and for that matter language in general, received a crash course with some of my instructors and maids. I found that language was not simply a means of communication. It could also serve as a beautifully malleable balm or a mischievous multivalent weapon. And aside from the adverb that I now have come to see as an absolutely essential golden thread in the construction of our collective tapestry of shared understanding, it was the superlative adjective that I found most intriguing. We all use them, not just prettier, which is actually a comparative adjective, but prettiest, not just great, but the greatest, and even goat, the greatest of all time, which has its origins with Muhammad Ali, of course. But the addition of the second part, of all time, puts us in mind of Macbeth. That, by the way, is not bad luck. I refer to the character, not the play, to which will henceforth be referred to as Mackers. Uncle William's Scottish play, Mackers, has within it perhaps the zenith, or the zenith for my English listeners, of one of the first superlative sentences, the be-all and the end-all. Following a prophecy received from 3 witches that he will become king, Macbeth sees his most direct path to the crown as killing the present king, Duncan, who, after the victory in a decisive battle, has decided to visit Macbeth's castle to celebrate. Macbeth's wife, Lady Macbeth, is very much on board with this regicidal plan and hosts a banquet for Duncan. In Act 3, Scene 2, we find Macbeth in an adjoining room, alone, wrestling with his conscience.
If it were done when it is done, then 'twere well it were done quickly. If the assassination could trammel up the consequence and catch with his surcease, success. That but this blow might be the be-all and the end-all, here. But here, upon this bank and shoal of time, we'd jump the life to come.
We now tend to use this phrase in a dismissive or negative context. Come on, man, you gotta come out with us on Saturday. It's not like your relationship is the be-all and end-all. Didn't pass your exam? It's not the end-all and be-all, is it? And that's another interesting thing. We sometimes switch it up, if you noticed, almost interchangeably. But if you stop for a moment to think about it, they really have different connotations. Macbeth is saying this blow he strikes could be the be-all of his move for the crown, but also the end-all. Signifying what? The end of Duncan's life, his reign, or the uncomfortable pricks of conscience he has? And speaking of conscience, having written Hamlet some 5 years earlier, maybe the grief-stricken, indecisive Dane was wandering Uncle Will's mental ramparts when he gave his Scottish thane his Jiminy Cricket moment. Quite clever, if he actually thought of it. I mean, Shakespeare is good, but he's not the be-all and end-all. Or is he? Well, alas and alack, my friends, that's all we have time for. Join us again next time for another circuitous journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time. Shakespeare Full Circle is a production of WGTE Public Media. You can learn more and download all episodes at wgte.org/sfc or wherever you get your podcasts.